Strange News Daily is a production of iHeartMedia.
In a world full of bizarre events, unsolved mysteries, and a billion stories from all corners of the globe, some news gets lost in the shuffle. This is your gateway to the stories on the fringe of the mainstream map. These are your dispatches in the dark. I'm Ben Bolin, and this is the Strange News Daily. Our first story today. Three astronauts have returned to Earth after spending more than 200 days in space. And, like the protagonist of a science fiction film, they're arriving to a changed planet, one very different from the planet they left behind the better part of a year ago. NASA astronauts Jessica Meir and Andrew Morgan, along with their crewmate Oleg Skripochka, landed in Kazakhstan earlier this morning. NASA confirmed their successful landing on Twitter, stating the astronauts were home safe and sound, noting that the landing wraps up a 205-day mission for both Jessica Meir and Oleg Skripochka, as well as a 272-day mission for astronaut Andrew Morgan. In a press conference earlier last week, Meir and Morgan noted they've been keeping track of the COVID-19 situation here on Earth. But from so far away, things didn't seem much different. The emotional impact didn't really hit until the trio returned to the planet. Speaking at the press conference, Morgan said, "We can watch news up here, and we've been talking to friends and families to try and paint a picture, but from up here, it's hard to understand what has transpired and how different life will be when we return." Morgan, who was selected by NASA as an astronaut back in 2013, also serves as an emergency physician in the U.S. Army. He went on to note, quote, "As an emergency physician, I know what it's like to be in a hospital or on the front lines of a field hospital. I'm very proud to be part of that profession, but at the same time, I feel guilt that I am as separated from it as I could be right now." As you might imagine, returning from space can get complicated. NASA's protocol for astronauts returning to Earth includes a post-landing medical check as doctors and other members of NASA teams help the astronauts re-acclimate to things like Earth's gravity and, of course, get used to walking again. In the weeks after the landing, their health will be monitored continually. But with the deadly COVID-19 virus on the loose, NASA says the post-landing procedures are now becoming even more extensive. According to Courtney Beasley, a spokesperson at NASA's Johnson Space Center, NASA will closely adhere to the CDC's recommendations on infection control for the coronavirus as Andrew Morgan and Jessica Meir return to Earth and begin their post-flight medical testing and readaptation period. Beasley went on to note that this includes the cleaning of surfaces, social distancing, emphasizing hand hygiene, encouraging NASA team members who are sick to stay home, and limiting contact with the crew members themselves. And for those of us who haven't left Earth, this is all old hat by this point. On a positive note, NASA also officially announced the first crewed launch on U.S. soil since 2011. So mark your calendars for May 27th. As we once again reach for the stars. Our second story today takes us to Germany, where the new Munster Zoo has enraged the internet by going public with its last-ditch effort to stay afloat, feeding some of its residents to others. Like many businesses, all zoos in Germany are currently closed, meaning their income streams have run dry, but their expenses remain. Even when a park is closed, the animals living in the zoo have to be cared for. You have to heat the tropical houses for reptiles. You have to clean and maintain the aquariums. And, like any other living thing, the animals in the zoo have to eat. According to zoo director Verena Kaspari, the zoo is currently only kept alive with donations. Kaspari says, "We are an association and do not receive any urban funds, and everything we have applied for so far has not yet arrived." And, Like many other institutions, this zoo is planning ahead in case it becomes necessary to take drastic measures. The zoo has drawn up an emergency plan, prioritizing which animals would have to be slaughtered and in what order to prolong the survival of the institution as a whole. Caspari is quick to note that this is a true last resort, saying if, and this really is the worst case, if I run out of money to buy feed, or if it should happen that my feed supplier can no longer deliver due to new restrictions, I would slaughter animals to feed other animals. Caspari adds that she would also, if necessary, put animals to sleep before allowing them to starve to death. Volker Holmes, director of the Association of Zoological Gardens, claims the zoos need rapid financial aid. In a letter, his association has asked for a 100 million euro rescue package for zoos, but he notes that only three of Germany's 16 federal states are working on a solution that takes zoos into account. The fastest and easiest way to help the zoos, of course, would be for them to open up again. Holmes noted that he hoped zoos would be part of the first wave of store openings. Quick to add that this would, of course, come with conditions. For example, distance regulations in the park and at the lines in front of cash registers, all of which could be taken into account, or perhaps a partial opening where people can visit the exhibits while the restaurants or gift shops remain closed. According to German government deliberations on Wednesday, federal and state governments are currently discussing whether zoos, museums, and botanical gardens can be reopened from April 20th. If this dystopian last resort does become a reality, and if zoo residents do become food, one creature will remain until the very bitter end: a 12-foot-tall polar bear named Vetus. Our third story for today. If you're a natural hugger, you may be feeling the coronavirus blues more deeply than others. A Zoom call with loved ones just isn't the same as physical contact, and people around the world are trying to think up new, innovative alternatives in this new normal of social distancing. Over in Iceland, forest rangers have a pretty interesting suggestion. If, they say, you want to hug something, why not hug a tree? Yes, they're serious. Representatives from the National Forest have encouraged Icelanders to take a walk outside and find a nice tree to hug to start their day off right. To help with their experience, the park rangers have been working to clear paths up to trees. They warn that you shouldn't hug the first tree you see, since multiple people hugging a tree could transmit coronavirus. Coronavirus can live on wood for up to 4 days. And that means, of course, that you shouldn't go hugging a tree that someone else has hugged already. While the premise of going out to just to hug trees may sound pretty silly, research does show that living near a forest makes people happier in general and increased connectivity with other living things, both plants and animals, can reduce your stress and also increase your happiness. And even if you don't plan to hug a tree, it's important to get outside and ideally to get outside in a natural environment. Additional research shows being around nature can also make you happier and feel more connected despite social distancing. Let us know if you give it a try. Oh, and word to the wise, make sure you check around any tree before you go in for that hug. Poison ivy isn't as bad as COVID, but it's no walk in the park either. That's all for now. We've been asking you to chime in with suggestions for stories you think your fellow listeners should know about, your bad dad jokes, or your personal experiences with COVID-19. Let us know by tagging #StrangeDaily on Twitter or by reaching out to me directly at BenBolinHSW on Twitter or at BenBolin on Instagram. Thanks as always to our super producer, Dylan Fagan, our research associate, Sam Teagarden, and thanks to you. I'm Ben Bolin. We'll see you tomorrow. And until then, stay strange.